101 Sports Talk 790. We start the second hour with our good friend, our buddy from The Athletic, the one, the only, Jake Kaplan, who Jake yesterday did a great article about jamming his finger and then sticking it in a lemon. How'd that go, Jake?
What did I do?
You broke your finger and then stuck it in a lemon, just like Dusty told you to do it.
I forgot about that. I don't think he appreciated that we were all laughing at that.
Oh, I asked him about it yesterday. Are you kidding me? That's why I'm the best interviewer in the business.
That's funny.
You should listen to the show once in a while, Jake. Seriously, not that beside the time that you're on with me. I'm just telling you, you learn a few things.
I listen when Ross is doing it.
Oh, my God. You're the worst. Okay, I am making a semi-grandiose prediction that when McCullers comes back off the injured list, no matter what that date is, and he even said a couple days ago, Dusty did, maybe mid-June, I think the Astros are going to go to a six-man rotation. Do you think I'm crazy or I'm right on the mark on this one?
I think you're crazy.
What?
I would be shocked if they went to a six-man rotation. I think, especially with there's an average of an off day every 10 days, so it's really a every 7-day rotation, and so that's not enough. You can't have guys pitching once a week. It's just not enough. So I think it also means you have one less arm in the bullpen because we still have 13 pitchers. So I think the best way to maximize their arms is probably to put Garcia in the bullpen for at least a stretch. He's never thrown more than 110 innings, 105 innings in his life. So it would also be a way to, massage his inning count for the season too. But I don't see a six-man rotation.
This might be moot anyway because we never know when these guys are going to come back, honestly. And somebody could get hurt between now and time Lance McCullers comes back. Do you attribute the number of injuries to baseball for what? The fact that we went from 60 games to 162? Is there something else beyond that?
You mean the shortened season is a big part of it last year.
Yeah.
And it just kind of messed with guys' routines. And also, there's usually a lot of injuries, too. So they are up for sure, which is alarming. But, actually on the Astros front, I feel like they've actually been relatively fortunate with injuries. I mean, position player-wise, they've had their A lineup for a vast majority of their games. And they did avoid the catastrophic Framber situation where he's already back. So, I think compared to some other teams, they've actually done okay, most of their absences being shorter absences.
What other teams are going to the six-man rotation, Jake? We'd heard that the Mariners were going to do it at the beginning of the season, and it seemed like it was being floated by a lot of teams. How many teams are actually using that right now? Do you know?
I think the Padres tried it, and then they ended up using Joe Musgrove out of the bullpen instead the other day. I think the Rangers, maybe. It's mostly bad teams that aren't trying to win, right? Because they're trying to develop their pitchers and limit innings. I don't really think the contenders who are trying to win, outside of the Padres, fake trying the six-man rotation for a small stretch, are really doing it. Because it diminishes the value of your best starters because they're pitching less. So, if you have three really good starters and you make them pitch out of a six-man rotation, they're not going to be as valuable as they would have been in a five-man rotation.
Visiting with Jake Kaplan from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake M. Kaplan. All right. For the last couple of years, when the Astros were thinking about making a move, all the names you kept hearing were that Kyle Tucker was untouchable and that Forrest Whitley was untouchable. Is there an untouchable part of the Astros minor league system, to the best of your knowledge, or because we've not talked much about the minor leagues the last couple of years because of draft picks and players that have already left and other trades, that everybody is up for grabs in the minor league system?
Well, I think it's always relative. I don't really believe in the whole untouchable thing to begin with, because if someone offers you Mike Trout, you're going to do it, right? But in terms of where the Astros stand with the prospects to trade, I think the question more is who do other teams want rather than who are the Astros not willing to trade? I think when it comes to the trade deadline, more than the prospect thing, it's going to be the discussion's always, it's going to be about the money part. The Astros have made it pretty clear through their actions that they don't want to exceed the luxury tax threshold, and they're pretty much right at it right now. So what does that mean? Does that mean will they change their mind? Will they stick to that? I think that's the real intrigue, rather than, like, do they have prospects to trade or not.
I wonder if there is a current player that doesn't play a lot or isn't as valued as high in the Astros organization, at least in the major league level, that might be used as a trade chip that currently plays now in a potential move. Because, look, they're going to have to get better bullpen work. Everybody's going to have to get better bullpen work. All the contenders are looking for better bullpen people, but especially the Astros, who've seen their bullpen ERA go from, you know, 4 to nearly 6 in the last month. If it continues this trend, they're going to need another arm they can rely on come 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 8th inning during the heart of the playoff chase.
Maybe the Angels would trade Steve Cishek.
You know, you would normally never talk about within division, but right. Why not, right?
No, I'm making a joke that the Astros cut him because they didn't want to pay him. I really think people are underestimating this money thing. Like, it's not, you know, fans don't want to hear that, and that's, they shouldn't want to hear that, but, you know, I don't know about the if they're going to spend money or not. I think that's a big question.
And then that means that when every time James Click gets asked about it, he can talk in a roundabout way, but he's never going to tell you that the reason why. That's the reason why, right? Basically.
Yeah, I mean, with all the GMs, you know, whenever they're asked about the competitive balance tax, it feels like they always say, oh, it's not a hard cap, but then you look at their salary cap at the end of the year, or their salary sheet, and it's treated that way. So, yeah, I view the actions more than the words in that respect, but I agree with your take that they need bullpen help, for sure, and maybe moving Javier and Garcia to the bullpen and getting Blake Taylor and Josh James will help it, but maybe not, and I think that's going to be the big thing to watch in these next 7 weeks leading to the deadline. And you know, if they're in the race, which I think they will be, and they don't make a move because of the money thing, I think that's going to play really poorly among their fan base here.
Let me ask you this. There were a lot of people that wanted Miles Straw nowhere near the starting lineup. And look, his bat is a little bit better than it was at the start of the year. Defensively, it's never been great. But the name that we kept talking about over and over again was Jackie Bradley Jr. You're batting higher than Jackie Bradley Jr. is at the major league level right now. I mean, he may be a great defensive center fielder, but he can't even bat half his weight at this point.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad so far. I guess the counter would be, you know, the defense is there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, so far not signing him looks like the right move. You know, I think the center field thing, I think Straw has been a little bit better defensively lately, but the offense, he's still not getting on base nearly enough. And when their lineup's full, it's not a big deal. But when they're missing guys or guys are slumping, that's when it's kind of magnified. So I still think the bullpen's the bigger issue than center field in terms of, like, projecting down the road when if they make the playoffs. But that's another area that they could look to improve if they're willing to add payroll.
All right, before I let you run, we've seen Kyle Tucker really smack the ball around the last month or so. Was the first month and change just a slow start, or do you feel like if you were to do a diary of Kyle Tucker week to week, that we were going to see ebb and flows in his offensive performance?
Yeah, I think he's really streaky. I think he was like that in the minors. I think he's just that type of hitter. You know, he was definitely – he was hitting the ball hard all year, and so there was some element of bad luck there. But he was also chasing a lot more early, and he's been much better at that and drawing more walks in the last month or so. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a slump somewhere along the line again. You know, he's just always going to be that streaky hitter, and then at the end of the year you look up and he's got good numbers, but – it was a little bit of a roller coaster to get there sometimes.
All right, no Joel Embiid tonight for Game 5. How big do the Wizards beat the 76ers?
I'm more worried about the subsequent rounds and if he can get back and how much he can play. That's, you know, it's the news today. I forget what the exact diagnosis the Sixers put out there was, but it didn't sound great. Kind of a big bummer there.
So as a 76ers diehard like you are, Do you build a franchise? And obviously they've built something there, but can he be your alpha dog when he's always missing time in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think he's missed as much time as maybe we thought he was going to early in his career. I mean, he's been pretty healthy the last 4 years. He just is this one's pretty terribly timed, but yeah, I think he can. I mean, he would have been the MVP this year if he didn't miss, what was it, 20 games? Mm-hmm. If he had played 10 of those games, he might be the MVP. So he's so good when he plays that, yeah, I think he's your guy.
All right. And lastly, will fans in your city behave themselves tonight?
Is the game in Philly?
Yeah.
I hope so, man. I mean, it's been pretty, that recent trend of fan behavior has been pretty troubling. I don't. What do you think? Are people just like, did people forget how to behave during the pandemic?
Well, I said it yesterday. It's three things. First, if it's pandemic release. Secondly, it's booze. And third, I'm stealing an idea from Stephen A. Smith, which I never thought I would. He also believes there's a gambling component into it, that you're not going just the game just to root, but you're going there because you want to see a bet you've made pay off. And if it doesn't pay off, you get super mad.
Well, I wish it would stop because it's bad, but I don't know. It kind of came out of nowhere, it feels like.
Have Red Sox fans behaved themselves at Minute Maid Park this week?
Seems like it, right? I feel like baseball this game is much more tame relative to these recent NBA instances.
Yeah, at least baseball fans, they just beat each other up in the stands as compared to throwing things on the field.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know.
All right, Jake. I don't know what you're doing right now, but I feel like you're driving at a high rate of speed. Am I accurate on this?
No, I'm walking around my neighborhood, but there's a little construction going on, maybe. I don't know. Is my audio not great for you?
It's fine. It just feels like you're going to be pulled over by a police officer in the next couple seconds, so don't jaywalk.
I'm just walking. I'm good.
Get your exercise, my friend. Talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
You got it. Jake Kaplan from The Athletic. Jake M. Kaplan.